Hello, everybody. My name is David Elms.
I'm at the business school here at Warwick. One of the things that interests us as a business school is, you know, what is the role of business when society faces big challenges? And you know, what we're going to do for energy in the future is a big challenge. And so from the business school perspective, we're interested, well, what's going to happen to the energy industry? What companies are going to be involved? You know, how's the structure of the industry going to change? What sort of different business models are going to need to be adopted? So in my sort of short introduction, I'm going to sort of look at energy from a global perspective and try and tease out some of those challenges, some of which the later speakers will pick up, and then hopefully some of them will feature in your discussions too. So a little bit of sort of scene setting up front. You know, use of energy and the emissions that come from the use of energy are driven very much by the population of the world and also how much energy people use. And so obviously there are expectations that world population is going to rise. Interestingly, that you know, the difference in GDP growth is very much focused on non-OECD, so the non-developed countries. And you know, you hear that on the news when you hear about growth in China and so on. Energy demand has a sort of accelerator on top of that, in that energy demand is expected to grow more than both population and GDP growth, because a lot of people in the world are moving into a phase where they start using more and more energy as their wealth increases. And the big important thing here is about 90% of the extra energy that we think the world's going to need, about 90% of that is in the non-OECD countries, so not in North America and Europe and Japan and Australia and so on. And so when you look at it from an energy industry perspective, you see that, well, actually the players in the industry are very likely to change significantly, because so much of the growth is happening in parts of the world outside the areas where a lot of the traditional energy companies are based. And then there's also the challenge of sustainability and emissions, because emissions are still rising, you know, the 5% last year at a global level. And the challenge is that the way we're going at the moment and the policies that we put in place at the moment means we're looking to a sort of 3.5 degree temperature increase. Now, some of you will know, you know, what an increase looks like and means in terms of the issues it's going to have in terms of climate. The general assumption is that we might be able to tolerate an increase in temperature of about 2 degrees. So the point I'm making here is that the way we're going at the moment, we're still looking like exceeding that, which means you're going to get a lot of uncertainty in terms of the world's climate and the impact that has on business and the world economy and so on. And the challenge really is that a lot of the infrastructure in energy is built to last for a long time. You know, power stations are meant to last for 20, 30, 40 years. You know, investments in sort of oil fields and so on last that long. Building a big wind farm, you expect it to last for decades as well. So the challenge looking ahead is that a lot of the things that will be using energy in the future have already been built now, and so that puts even more pressure on the situation. But taking a step back and looking around the world, there's some sort of bar charts up there which show the proportion of energy coming from different sources around the world. Now, there are some obvious ones, like you look at the Middle East and you say, well, yeah, okay, a lot of it's oil and gas. And so there is this issue that you look around the world and the energy that people use in different parts of the world actually differs an awful lot. And so even though individual countries may choose to adopt certain policies and may choose to sort of go for renewables at great speed, at a global level, we're looking at a mixture of sources of energy for many, many decades to come. And so when you look at things like a global industry, it will contain that mixture, even though that, say, for instance, countries like the UK and targets in Europe, you know, we're aiming to achieve a lot more from renewables. So this question of energy mix around the world is going to stay being a mix for some time to come. Here's a chart which takes data looking at three sort of energy sources, so gas, petroleum, electricity. And this is some interesting data that takes a really long historical look. So it's the cost of those different sorts of energy over the last 200 years. And what it shows is that when a new source of energy comes into the marketplace, and that means comes into the market, isn't just invented, it obviously is very expensive to start off with. But the interesting point is it's historically taken about 25, 30 years to get from being really expensive because not many people are using it, down to some sort of plateau level of cost, which means it's found its place in the market. And the challenge here is that the targets that we've set ourselves in many countries to bring in new forms of renewables such as wind and solar and so on, we're trying to bring those new sources of energy in at sort of speeds that, frankly, you know, we've not really achieved in previous energy transitions in the past. So it's the challenge of we're trying to do this, and we're trying to do this very quickly if you learn from experiences in the past. Here's another sort of slide I just wanted to show. This one's a little bit more complicated, but it's worth sort of having a look and think about. On the bottom of this graph is GDP per capita, so the wealth of a per person in a country. And, you know, GDP is taken as a common measure of sort of how well a country's doing and how far it's progressing through various stages of development. Now, on the vertical axis, it's energy per person. So we're looking at sort of, you know, wealth per person versus energy per person. And these lines are a time series of data from 1970 through to now. So typically speaking, the values at the left are the start. So what you see is that as countries develop, yes, many countries increase their wealth per person, their GDP per person, and their energy use goes up too. But what's quite interesting about this is, you know, the different countries have different patterns. So for instance, you can see that the green and the purple line sort of level off at one level, which is Europe and Japan. And then above that, you see countries like South Korea, Australia. Now, up at the top, that's the USA. And Russia is worth a whole separate discussion. You know, it's often... Anybody from Russia here? Good, nice to have you here, because, you know, it's a very interesting story as to what's happening you know, in Russia in terms of their energy usage. But, you know, ask me about it afterwards, probably. Now, the interesting question here is, well, two things. One is, well, for countries that are currently at different levels, you know, can they move up and down? So can the US come down? Can countries like Australia, who are sort of heading up towards similar level, you know, can they sort of stop this process of continually increasing their energy per person as they get wealthier? But then the really interesting question, if you like, is the bottom left-hand corner, because there you've got the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, places like that. And they're obviously sort of starting up that process. And the real question is, you know, where are they going to go? Are they going to go up a bit and level off at the sort of European, Japanese, or even better levels? Or are they going to sort of keep on charging up and, you know, reach American levels of energy consumption? So there's lots of interesting opportunities for both governments and companies around, you know, where do countries end up in terms of how much energy they use as they go through the process of economic growth and development. Here's another chart, again, a bit complicated, but it's got a very simple message. So on the left-hand side, there are different sources of energy that we use around the world. So this is the world picture of energy. And on the left-hand side, it's where do we get the energy from? And as you go through to the right-hand side, it shows where that energy is used. And so you can see that a lot of energy goes into making electricity. And then a lot of the rest of the energy goes into different end markets, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, or transportation. And so there's two things I take out of this graph, one of which is related to the questions that we got on the chart, which is a lot of the world's oil goes into transport. Not all, but a lot of it. And so the whole questions about what is going to happen with transportation, you know, is it going to be electric vehicles, is it going to be biofuels, all this sort of stuff, you know, is very, very sort of important in terms of the geopolitical questions about, you know, how much oil are we going to use, where is it going to come from, and how much is it going to cost. So that's another question. And then the second point is you're looking at the grey boxes on the right. We lose or waste as much energy as we end up usefully using. So there's enormous potential in terms of energy efficiency as well as in trying to find alternative sources of energy. So that leads us to a number of sort of different factors which I've sought to summarise. You know, demand growth is rising. We're going to need a mix of energy into the future. We're trying to make transitions faster than we've done before. We're on a path which probably is going to, you know, mean that climate change issues and so on are going to start making things very unstable. There are paths for different routes towards energy usage which we should explore. Improvements in efficiency are as important as different sources of energy. and just a quick number at the bottom of it, we're going to be investing about $1 trillion a year around the world in terms of securing our future energy sources and the way we use energy, more so if it's going to be green. And so that represents a significant challenge in head. There are some sort of things that we've been doing here at the business school. We've been using scenarios to look at the future around what do we expect energy to be. And we've taken a number of scenarios that are commercially available or openly available. You could look at these. We've applied those scenarios to all sorts of different companies around the energy sector. And I think I'd just like to sort of pick a few things that that's left us thinking, which might be some spurs for your consideration. Yes, there's the importance of renewables, but then there's also a big debate around the role of gas as an alternative for fuels like coal. There is this whole question about what is the business of less? You know, what is the commercial model of encouraging and helping people to use less energy? And how is that going to change the energy supply industry? We've got this issue of smart energy. You know, Phil mentioned that the last part of the link bringing energy into your house is relatively dumb at the moment. There are the opportunities at the moment to actually get a lot of that information and whether that can help people in the way that they use energy. I personally think that there's a lot of attention need to be paid for distributed energy, which is where local sources of energy play an important role, so we don't depend on big power stations a long way away, and what is the potential for that. I've mentioned transport and so on, so I won't go through each of these lists, these points on the list, but I think it's hopefully sort of some of the sort of fruits for discussion on the tables is some of these things that might actually end up with a very different picture of energy supply and demand in the future, and I suppose from our perspective in the business school, a very different energy industry that will serve us in the future. So I'll tie up that point and hand over.